Welcome to Passion Church. For more information about Passion Church, please visit us online at www.passionchurch.tv. Now let's join the service already in progress.
Well, good morning, Passion. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. God is here. Amen. Do you feel His presence? Do you feel His presence? Because the Bible says where two or three are gathered, there He is in the midst of them. So the moment you came together today and began to praise His name, begin to glorify His name, the presence of God filled this house. And with the presence of God is there is peace, there's rest, there's joy, there's power, there's forgiveness, there's grace. So whatever you came with today, I want you to hear me. God's in the house, and He's ready to do something in your life. If you would just allow Him, if you would just listen. Listen, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow hasn't arrived. So all you have is right now. So for right now, let's just focus on God. Seek His face and desire His will in our life. Amen. We start a new sermon series today. May we honor. For the next month, we want to talk about how we honor, what it means. Next week, we'll talk about mothers. We'll talk about graduates. But today, I just want to talk in a generic form about how we honor as believers, what it means. And I really want to talk about today that we honor even when we don't feel like honoring. Let me say that again. If you leave with nothing else today, that's what I want you to leave with. We're living in a society today to where we don't honor anymore. But all throughout the scriptures, we find scripture after scripture of God telling us we should honor. That we've got to learn to honor even when we don't feel like honoring. I was thinking for the last couple of weeks, one of the greatest moments I've ever experienced, someone being honored. I actually was going to tell you today about the first Medal of Honor recipient. But as I sit on the front row, I've been able to go through my life and think about those moments where I've seen someone honored. And for some reason, my father came to my mind. I'll never forget the day, it was summer 2009. My father was retiring from being the bishop of the IPHC denomination. We're all sitting on the front row, ready to honor my father. And they bring out a car, a Cadillac. I thought, my Lord, I want to be bishop now. Not because I don't want the job, just because I want the Cadillac. I end up getting the Cadillac, but it's not the same shape it was. But see, that day, it wasn't the car that he received for retirement that made me feel so honored for my father. It was the way that everyone treated him, the way that everyone talked about him. The car's gotten old, the paint has faded, leather is torn. But wherever I go, I travel a lot, and wherever I go, it never fails at least three or four times before I leave a conference or a meeting, someone will come up and say, I loved your dad. What a mighty man of God he was. I've had so many walk up and say, your dad ordained me. He licensed me. The car faded. But the honor for my father has continued throughout time. My prayer, my hope, is that my life would do the same. But I know that I'm probably not my father, not near the man he was, and I've probably made more mistakes than he has. But I hope that I also be honored one day for the work that I've done for the kingdom. I want to read a passage today. It's out of 1 Samuel 24, verse 8. And I want to show you a moment that a man honored a king. Undeserving, not worthy. Although he was king, the life that he led and what he had done. Listen to this. David also rose afterward, went out to the cave and called out to Saul, saying, "My Lord, the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. That's honor. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of the men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks your harm'? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. But my eye spared you. And I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see. Yes, see the corner of your robe in my hand. For in that I have cut off the corner of your robe, I did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the word that we're about to receive. God, I pray that every heart and every mind to be open to receive, God, what you got in store. And Lord, not one. We'll leave this house the same way that they came. But we'll leave knowing they've been in the presence of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen and amen. We see here in 1 Samuel chapter 24 a great story of honor. In fact, a great story of honor that really wasn't due to the one who received it. Saul and his army of 3,000 men are pursuing David, and they come to the place called the Rock of the Wild Goats, and King Saul decides to go into the cave. It turns out that David and his men are in the recesses of the same cave, and David's men get all excited. Finally, God has given our enemy into our hands. And today, the warrior, the soldier, David, will get his revenge. But David doesn't do what they expect. He goes and he sneaks in and he cuts a little piece of the robe of Saul and comes back. Not only did David not take advantage of the situation, we go on and find out that David actually felt bad. He says, "Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe." Not only does he not kill someone who's trying to kill him, he just cuts off a little piece of his robe so that he can present it to Saul and say, "Listen, I'm not trying to kill you. I'm not after you. Listen, I could have if I wanted to, but I didn't." But even in the process of cutting the little piece of that robe, even then he feels he has dishonored Saul and he feels bad. The Bible tells us that then David comes to Saul, he bows down, puts his face before the ground to the earth, and he in essence says, "I am not after you, I'm not trying to kill you. Those who are telling you this are lying. In fact, here's a piece of your robe. I could have killed you, I could have taken your life." In fact, David could have been a little bit arrogant about it. Saul, who do we think is the military might here? Who do we think, you know, in other words, have you ever had some up, you're a big guy, and there's a small guy, and the small guy's running his mouth, and you're like, really? You want to take this on? Really? You want to pursue this? If you do, we can, but you ain't going to like the finale. But that's not what David does. He says, look, I'm showing you, this isn't to dishonor you. This is to let you know that I do honor you because of your anointing, because you are the king, and most of all, because God put you in this role. Today, I want to talk to you about honoring. And from this story, we see that sometimes we may not feel like honoring. Sometimes we may not want to honor. Sometimes we may feel like the person hasn't met up to the criteria that we may have set, the standard that we set. But the thing is, throughout the scriptures, we find that we are called to honor. Here's number one, write this down. Honor the meaning of honor. Honor the meaning of honor. The word honor, if you go and look at the scriptures, it means to esteem, to value, or great respect. Now, yes, we do honor people that have had great achievements. In fact, we'll be honoring our graduates. In fact, Southwestern had their graduation yesterday. I think we had 5 individuals that graduated from here, they're here in the church, that graduated from Southwestern, and we're proud of them, and we will this month be honoring them for their achievement. But can I tell you, there's more than just honoring individuals for their achievements. Because if we only honor those for their achievements, then do we take it back when they, well, mess up? I may honor Adam, but many times he messes up, and he does a lot. Does that mean that I go and take back the honor that I gave him? Some of you are smiling, you know Adam. The first meaning there is the word to esteem. Although David was mad and upset and frustrated that Saul was trying to kill him, although he probably harbored some feelings of what have I done wrong to deserve this, he still honored him. The word esteem, as we begin to look it up in Webster's dictionary, it means to show respect and admiration. In other words, I respect you for who you are. I respect you for what you've done. I respect you for the position. Even when we don't feel like showing honor, we still esteem someone because of who they are. I would hope that you would esteem me as your pastor, your spiritual father, but I just want to throw out there right now, I'm probably going to shock some of you. Get ready if you're standing up, sit down. I'm not perfect. It's amazing, isn't it? You thought I was. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. Does that mean because there's imperfection in my life as a pastor, as a preacher, as a man of God, that you don't still honor me? No, you still honor me not because of the person, but because of the position. That we're called to honor another. The other word there was value. Honor means we put value on something. When we honor others, we're putting a higher value on that person. We value who God has made you. We value what God has done in your life. And can I tell you, most of all, we value because you are a child of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a child of God. See, what we do in society is, I won't show you respect until you gain my respect. Why don't we put value on individuals, amen? Why don't we put value on individuals until they lose that value? But what we do many times is, I won't put a value on you until you've earned it. The other word there is respect. Respect. Sometimes our hurts and our hindrance and our heartbreaks can begin to override our command by the word of God to honor. But we must resist it and show honor where honor is due. What respect David showed to King Saul when he bowed down before him, that was honor. When he cut his robe but didn't kill him, that was honor. When he felt bad because he did cut his robe, that was honor. In fact, do you understand that his soldiers got so excited? They're like, come on, David, let me kill him. Let me kill him, David. He's mine. Give him to me. Give him to me, David. Let me take him out. He's been messing with my boy. He's been messing with you, David. He messed with the wrong guy. Let me at him, David. And at that moment, David said, no. Leave him alone. That's honor. See, we learn in our life that we honor people in the role they are. We give them value. Why? Because God gave them value. We show them respect. Why? Because we respect what God has done in their life. We respect them for the position that God has given them. We respect them because we, as men and women of God, should show respect to one another. Here's number two. Write it down. Who, what, and how you honor matters. Who, what, and how you honor matters. David honored Saul, the person. He honored Saul, the king, the position. But he also honored Saul's anointing. Let me say this, the purpose. See, we honor first because of the person they are in Christ Jesus. We also honor because of the position. And we also honor because of the purpose God has put in their life. If you've got purpose, raise your hand. Well, every one of you should have raised your hand. Some of you didn't. We need to talk after service. Whether you're young or whether you're old, you've got purpose. And see, I as a believer, you as a believer, I should honor the purpose that God has put in your life. I should honor the anointing that is in your life. That's the position. In fact, the Bible says we are not to touch the anointed one of God. Can I tell you that we always use that as to talk about the pastor? But can I also look at yourself, just right here, I'm anointed. You're anointed also, amen? Now, don't get me wrong, it fits me well if you will honor me and show my position. I'll take it, amen. But the thing is, it isn't just about me now, it's about you. That there's an anointing in your life, there's a purpose in your heart, that God anointed your life. And because of that, the Bible says that we should honor. In fact, can I tell you, the Bible actually says this, we should honor all. We're to honor someone because of the person they are. We're to honor them because of the position they have. We're to honor someone because of the purpose they are serving in the kingdom of God. We are also to honor others because of the power God has bestowed upon their life. We're to honor someone because of the potential of their future. In fact, let me say this, be careful. I would always tell kids in high school when they had people picking on them and making fun of them, and especially those strong athletes, I'm like, well, you just wait one day. When they're still living in the past and not working a good job, but you're now a multimillionaire, you can begin to rub it in their face and say, ah. That's terrible, isn't it? I've got Julie over here, a teacher. She's looking at me like, that's just wrong, Pastor. Don't you judge me. See, the reason why we honor individuals, you never know who you're standing beside. You never know the power that God has put in their life, and you never know the potential. You may be standing beside the next Billy Graham. You may be standing beside the next, I'm trying to think of a name, Robert Morse. You may be standing beside the next John D. Leggett. and we honor them. We see how we are called to honor many things. And God begins to show him that he's to honor the king. And see, what was David doing? What did honor mean? First, it meant honor the anointing. It also meant being obedient. See, that's how we honor. The Bible tells us, in fact, throughout the scriptures, you'll find many, many things we're to honor. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, that you are to honor your parents. Parents turn to your kid and say, you better honor me. My son's back there, you better honor me. In fact, the Bible tells us there in Ephesians that if you honor your mother and your father, you will live long in the land. Hear that, kids. Disrespect your mother and father and you will die sooner. It tells us to honor the elderly in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, that we are to honor the elderly. We're to honor those in authority. It says in Romans 13, 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Despite our feelings toward authority and governments and senators and governors and even presidents, we are still to honor them. You got real quiet there. We have to learn to honor the position even if we doubt the person. We're to honor marriage. Hebrews 13, 4 says, marriage is honorable among all. We should honor marriage. We're to honor the teachers and the elders of the churches. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders who rule be counted worthy of a double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. In fact, the Bible says, as a teacher, I'm supposed to receive a double honor. But also, guess what the Bible says? That I'm held more accountable. The double blessing may be great. The double honor may be wonderful. But also on the same token, I've got a responsibility. And if I don't hold to the standards, I pay a bigger price. It tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, honor all people. Turn to your neighbor and say, all. All. Pastor, what does honor mean? We said it. It means to what? To esteem, to value, and to show respect. That's what honor means. I'm going to esteem you. I'm not going to put you down. I'm not going to talk bad about you. I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm not going to treat you in a terrible way. I'm going to esteem you. I'm going to attach value to you for no other reason that you are a child of God, purposed by God, appointed by God, and anointed for God's work. I attach that value to you. And most of all, I will show respect. Can I be honest with you? There's one thing I don't do well with, and it's I don't do well with disrespect. It's probably my kryptonite, as if I'm Superman. But I don't do well with disrespect because I believe that we all should respect everybody. See, that's why David felt so bad when he cut the little hem of that off. But right here, David understood that not only does everybody deserve respect, those who are in that position, those who are anointed, those who are called, those who are appointed, they are deserving of honor. First Timothy chapter 1, 17 says, here's the greatest honor. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. God is deserving of our honor. Do you hear me? God is deserving of our honor. And here's number three. We will be honored because of our honor. We will be honored because of our honor. As I close, in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 16, it says, "So it was when David had finished speaking these words to Saul, that Saul said, 'Is this your voice, my son David?' And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Then he said to David, 'You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how I have dealt well with me. For when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely?'" Now listen to this. "Therefore," when you see in the Bible, "therefore," when, then, it begins to be a moment that you, because you did this, this happens. Listen to this. "Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now I know indeed that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established under your hand." At that moment, Saul realizes that David has shown honor to him. At that moment, King Saul realizes he hasn't been honoring others. And David being pursued by King Saul, and David being dishonored by Saul, I think all of us in this room would have said, "Kill the man. Take his life before he takes yours." But David chose honor, not of the person, but of the position. David chose honor because of the potential, because of the purpose. And because David chose to honor, Saul says, "You surely will be king. Israel will be established under you. There will be people that you show honor to that will disrespect you. And there will be people that don't deserve, truthfully, the honor you give them. But you, as a child of the Most High God, will learn to honor." See, let me tell you what honor really is. It's selflessness. Because when you can say, "I'm not going to treat you the way that you've been treated me," that's honor. When you say, "I'm not going to hold against what you've done, but I'm going to respect who you are," that's honor. When you say, "It's not about the good or bad inside of you, but about the God who's with you, I choose to honor," that's honor. Everyone deserves your honor. And most of all, your God. And you honor him by today esteeming him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and worthy of all of your praise and adoration. You honor him today by putting value upon your God that he is the most important thing in your life. You honor him today by giving him the respect he is due. And it's not just the words from your mouth, but it's the deeds of your life. It's what you do, how you act, how you serve, how you surrender, how you resist. Can I tell you, God is waiting for your respect and your honor. And when you do, as I read right here, I want you to understand, your honor that you give to others and to God does not go unnoticed. And God will repay you. God will bless you. David, as you know, went on to become king. David went on to rule over Israel. Let me ask you this question today. This is very important. What is your lack of honor keeping you from? Here's even a better question. What is it, if you would show honor to, would open up the floodgates of God's blessings to flow in your life? What is it? Let your life honor God. Let your words honor others. And see what God can and will do in your life. I want you to bow your head, close your eyes. I know what you're thinking. But Pastor, that person that you want me to honor, you don't know what they've done. You don't know what's happened. See, honor is just like forgiveness. Sometimes it's not even that they are deserving of it, but you give it anyway. Not even for that person, but for you. Because if you don't forgive, you hold yourself in a prison of unforgiveness. And if you don't honor, even when you don't feel like honoring, it is keeping your life from the blessings and the joy and the peace and the promises of God. Who are you not honoring today that deserves your honor? Let me ask this first question. If you've been struggling to honor God today with your life, with your words and your deeds, and you're sorry for that, and you want your life to bring honor to your King, I want you to raise your hand. Yes, yes. Lord, I pray for every hand that is raised. Lord, whatever they've been doing in their life that has not been bringing honor to God, forgive them today. Wash away their iniquities and their sins. And Lord, I pray today that their life and their deeds and their words will bring honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Here's my other question. Who in this service today would say, I haven't been showing honor to someone in my life that deserves honor? Raise your hand. Maybe a boss, spouse, that you know there's someone deserving of your honor, but you're mad, you're upset, you're disillusioned by who they are. If that's you, and you know you're not showing the honor that is due them, I want you to raise your hand one more time. Yes. God, I pray for every hand that is raised. And Lord, I pray and ask today, Lord, that, Lord, they would begin to let go of that anger, that bitterness, that unforgiveness. And Lord, begin to show honor to who honors do. Here's my last question. I'll let you go. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, say, Pastor.
It's been a privilege to have you join us for this time of ministry. To find more Passion Church resources or to make a donation online, visit www.passionchurch.tv. Remember, you can't live without passion.